The following podcast is brought to you by Full Restore from Silphco, just when you thought it was over.
Everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour. I'm Jake.
I am Josh.
And today we are going to the fabulous Indigo Plateau.
Woo! Got our badges. They're all nice shined up.
We shined them all up. We showed our proof to each of the 8 gatekeepers that there were on the Victory Road. We got through the Victory Road.
We did.
Caught a cool bird.
Cool firebird.
And now there's only one thing left.
That's it.
Well, there's two things left.
There's two things left. They're both in this episode.
But first, we got some news. Some new pokes came out recently.
We got new pokes. The Pokemon World Championships were held recently.
Okay.
And I think at that, they showed some new pokes. I can't quite remember. The Pokemon World Champion for the Masters Division, at least, is Wolf Glick. So congratulations to him. He did good.
Wolf Glick?
He won. That's his name.
That's a fake name.
I don't think it is.
His real name is Ched Carpenter.
That's a fake name.
And he goes by Wolf Glick.
Wolf with an E, like
Wolf A.
Like a person's
name. Oh, it's Wolf A Glick.
His trainer's name is Wolf E. He's Wolfie.
Wolf A Glick.
That's what everybody calls him. But he's
Jiminy's the champion. Brother.
He had a Raichu on his team, which was real nice to see.
Oh, and the rest of it was just the normal team.
And the rest of it was just like, you know, take from these 10 Pokemon, make a team, and have a fight.
But cool, yeah, congratulations. Good for you, buddy.
But anyway, they showed some
Pokemon. Sorry for making fun of your name.
I don't think he's listening, but if you are, thanks, man. So a Pokemon was shown at that, and then there was another just like little announcement video, I think.
Yeah.
But the one shown at the World Championship somewhere at some point was Turtonator, who we have not talked about yet, and this was a little while ago.
Yeah, I think because last week we didn't do anything, we just did the last two anime episodes, which we'll talk about at the end of this new segment, just to...
Okay, just to...
Yeah, to clarify, wrap it all up.
Clear that all up. So he's based on a Matamata turtle.
Yep.
M-A-T-A-M-A-T-A.
Matamata.
Which is like a gross-looking turtle. Look up a picture of it.
I'm going to do that.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, because it's this long-necked, spiky... Just like kind of gross looking turtle.
Is it a Taka? It's a Taka, right? Or a Rezar?
That's a Snappin' turtle. Whichever one of those is the turtle.
I never remember. I feel like it's Taka, but I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
Weird that it's a turtle, because like it's a Ninja Turtles villain.
That is weird. I mean fight fire with fire. You know?
That's true. So Turtonator is standing facing away from the camera, I guess you would say.
Right.
With his shell facing us. It's red and yellow with a bunch of spikes, and it looks very magma-y.
He has too much neck. This Matamata turtle has way too much neck.
Yes, as does Turtonator. He's looking at us over his shoulder with his long, spiky head.
I don't like it.
And he's got like a snout, like a bazooka snout. He is the Blast Turtle Pokemon. He's a fire dragon.
What a dragons this time.
I guess Hawaii is just like... Full of dragons.
Full of dragons in Alola.
Even their trees are dragons.
A dragon. That's the weirdest thing, right?
Yes.
Your long neck makes you a dragon. Well.
Let's see if there's any fun information about him. Oh, his front is soft. That's his weak point. That's why he uses his shell.
That's why he's turned around.
Yeah.
Was super long neck craned around.
He gets a new move called Shell Trap. Okay. Only Turtonator is able to learn it.
Oh.
Smeargle. No, it says here, only Turtonator is able to learn.
But couldn't you just
I guess Smeargle could.
Yeah.
Unless it's like transform, but I imagine Smeargle can do it too.
Yeah.
Smeargle doesn't learn it though. He copies it.
He
doesn't get a little older and go, oh.
Oh, of course.
Shell trap. Anyway, you set up a trap at the beginning of the turn, and if your opponent physically attacks you, it triggers an explosion that damages them.
Okay, that's pretty neat.
So that's Turtonator. We got a couple more, though, because there was a video that came out that was like, here's some more new Pokemon.
Yeah, was it in Japanese? Or was
no,
there,
we got a...
We got an English
Yeah,
version?
This was on August 12th.
Right.
Because they announced on August 1st during that video, they were like, another one's coming August 12th. And so this was the August 12th sure. video. So Beware has a pre-evolution named Stuffle.
It's a cutie boy. Stuffle or Stuffin?
Stuffle.
Stuffle, okay.
Like Stuffle.
Huh.
Yeah. It has a tag on its butt?
It does. That's pretty cute.
So I don't know what that's about.
Hey, congratulations, Stuffle, on being the Lillipup of Generation 7.
You evolve into a goof.
And that you're really cute, but everything after you is the dirt worst. Stoutland and Herdier are just so ugly, I don't know how they could come from a Lillipup.
I don't dislike Herdier. I can see how Herdier comes from a Lillipup. I don't know how you get to Stoutland from there.
I don't like either of them.
Actually, I do. Have you seen pictures of, like, contest Yorkies?
Oh, yeah.
With their hair combed, like, super all the way long, down to yeah. the floor?
But he turns into a schnauzer.
He turns into a Scot? I thought they were based on Scotties. Well, he goes from a Yorkie to a schnauzer to a Scottie.
Yeah, so Lillipup is a Yorkie. Oh, I love Yorkies so much, you guys. And then he evolves into a Scottie, which is a Herdier. And then Stoutland is, like, kind of... schnauzery to me.
He's got too much hair.
Way too
much. Like, I get what they're going for with his hair.
He's wearing Uncle Olaf's sleeping gown.
My problem with him mostly is not his body hair. It's his mustache that is just as long.
Yeah,
and, like, flaps around behind him.
Lillipup is a perfect little cutie prince. I don't know why you would want to do anything to that. That makes no sense to me.
I don't know. Anyway, Stuffle is the flailing Pokemon. That's its category.
It's just like...
Obviously, it's smaller than Beware. It's not nearly as scary or weird looking.
Its head is also a different color, but it doesn't look like it took someone else's head, at least.
No, its ears do blend in with its head, but it does have a white band around its face. But this is just a stuffed animal that came to life.
Yeah, but like Beware looked like it took... because it's a cutoff. It's just like regular black body, cutoff, pink head on Beware. Like, it's like a straight line. It looks like he's like, I'm taking your head, and it's mine now.
Yeah, on this one, only its legs are like that.
Yeah, and that's fine.
What else did we get? Oh, we got the Sandcastle Pokemon. So there is Sandygast, who is just the sand heap Pokemon. It's just a pile of sand with a shovel in its head and a big open mouth that goes all the way through it.
I like that.
He is the sand heap Pokemon. It's a ghost ground type. It gets the ability Water Compaction, which is a new ability. So when it's hit with a water move, its defense will go up.
Okay.
Like, you can pack down mud to make a sandcastle.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
And then he evolves into Palisand.
Yeah.
Who's just a sandcastle.
When I saw these...
it is literally the sandcastle Pokemon.
Yeah. Does he also have water compaction?
He also has water compaction. The shovel in its head is now handle first. And okay. I think it spins, but I'm not entirely sure. It's a bit like a beacon.
Yeah. The first time I saw these, I thought this was like Alolan Diglett and Alolan Dugtrio. Like, that's what, like, their forms
I could
were...
see that.
It's not. They're but new it pokes. Doesn't.
The Alolan forms are very different while still looking the same as the originals.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. And this does not look the same as a Diglett.
Right.
To me. We got one more new Pokemon. It's Crabrawler.
I like this guy.
He's got a Pompadour.
Pompadour.
He's got a black eye, and his giant crab mitts are just like boxing gloves.
Yeah, it's cool.
He's the boxing Pokemon.
What type is he, Josh?
That's the weird thing. He's only fighting type.
He has eschewed his watery origins to just fight.
He just wants to sort of fight. I'm going to name mine Russell.
Russell?
Russell Crowe in South Park just wanted to fight all the time.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Making movies, making songs, and fighting around the world. No.
I don't like South Park, so I like it.
It's fine.
I would name him Russell because, like, WrestleMania, the dog movie starring Johnny Mundo.
Is that real?
Yes.
He voices a dog?
No, he's in the movie.
Does he lose to a dog?
Yes. He loses a wrestling match to a dog named Russell.
I'm going to have to track this movie down. he doesn't get any new stuff, it doesn't look like. His favorite food is berries, but so is every Pokemon. Like, what is
right.
that? What is that a fact?
Well, except for Bangos, who someone keeps sneaking him Tauros jerky.
You're not supposed to know about that?
And Scramble, too! My sweet little
I gotta
angel.
Keep her quiet. She can't rat me out. I looked at her. I was like, we cool? She was like, give me some of that jerky. So I did. Now we're cool. It's fine. That's all the news that we have for
The only other news,
Pokemon.
Yeah, the only other news is this show news. We got two things that we haven't mentioned before, but just for like super clarification, we're not doing the anime anymore.
Nope.
It's bad, and it wasn't fun, and nobody was listening to it.
A couple people were listening to it. Like, two people were listening to it.
Two confirmed listeners. And so sorry, Dowd and Steph. And Steph asked, like, are you going to do the what happened in the anime? No, because the anime is bad, and I don't like it for real. Like, that's not like a gimmick. That's just like,
I can confirm that. He actually does not like the show.
I don't like the anime. I want to, if it was just like, if Ash wasn't the dirt worst and, like, everything wasn't played to be stupid, it might be fun, but it's not. If it was Gary Oak's show, I would watch it. So, like, no, we're not going to be doing the what happened in the anime. But here's the thing. Any of our listeners, if you guys want to make a podcast where you go over the anime episode by episode, we will plug the heck out of it.
Yep, absolutely.
It's on you now. We have bequeathed it to you. Secondly, this is the last episode of season one. Yes. Pokemon World Tour. So what this means is that after this episode, we're going to be going on a Hey Jake and Josh style hiatus.
We're going to do other episodes.
Well, we're going to still put out episodes, but not like on theme.
They'll be probably shorter.
Yeah, like, for
much more digestible episodes.
Yeah. So
just goofy offshoot stuff.
So we're doing 2 months. So that's 4 episodes of Pokemon World Tour United is still going to be going up as normal. We're so far ahead that, like, doesn't affect anything one way or the other. Like,
right,
That's going to be going up fine. But we're going to be doing, like, kind of, like, theme episodes. So we're going to be doing some Let's Make a Gyms for some of our patrons. We have one episode where we're going to be doing conspiracy theories where we're each bringing, I'm going to say 2.
Okay.
We'll each bring 2. So it's you and me and then Alan and Shannon.
Okay.
And we're all going to get together.
That'll probably be a longer episode.
It might be a little bit longer, but, you know.
But it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I don't imagine it'll be, like, hard to edit, because it'll just be us, like, joking the whole time.
Yeah.
So we're going to be, you know, just talking about 2 conspiracy theories that we like, and then see what everybody else thinks. So that'll be pretty fun. And then we had ideas for another one?
Well, we got the starter rankings, which if you haven't sent yours in, send them in.
Yes.
I have everything we've gotten saved, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if we got any in the email or not. I haven't checked, but I'll go through that.
Yes, we got Skies from the email.
Okay.
And then maybe 1 or 2 more. I'll
okay. I'll go through that and write those down in my phone too. So I'm going to assign points and do a bunch of math, and we're going to come up with a Pokemon World Tour starter rankings as ranked by you.
Okay.
And us, because we also have listened.
Yes. So. Starting at the bottom, so you got to stay tuned the whole way through to see who's the best.
That's right.
I'm excited.
No one ever was.
I need to look at mine, and I might need to redo mine.
Okay.
Just because things have changed.
Here's the thing. I have them all in my phone.
Nobody's is labeled.
I just saved the images from Twitter. I don't know whose is whose.
Okay.
So.
Anyway, so if you haven't done that so far, please rank your starters. Pikachu is optional?
I'm going to count Pikachu. If you leave him off, I'm counting that as you ranked him last.
Okay, that's fair.
So.
So yeah, send those in so we can have the most data possible.
That's right. Largest sample group that we can get. And more math for me. That'll be the last one of the hiatus, I think.
Probably. And then there's one more.
Well, if we do a couple gyms.
We do 2 Let's Make a Gym episodes. Okay, so that's it. That's what we're going to be doing on hiatus. So look forward to that. That'll be pretty fun. I'm excited to do kind of goofier fun episodes.
Yeah.
And then we come back with the Sevii Islands.
We're going to the Sevii Islands, which is kind of a season 1.5 because it's only 7 places.
That's what we got for future plans. Anyway, we've been jawjacking enough.
We have.
So, are you ready?
I am.
To go to the Indigo Plateau.
So we did it, guys. We finally made it here to the Indigo Plateau, the highest Pokemon authority.
Also known as the ultimate goal for trainers.
And the outside portion of the Indigo Plateau is just a straight path that leads to the door of the Pokemon League. It is decorated with trees, flowers, statue, and some gate-like archways.
Okay.
It's very fancy.
I remember the statues.
It's a very nice-looking place. The archways are only in Gen 4, but I like that map a lot, so that's the one I'm using.
The Gen 4 maps were, across the board, kind of the best.
Yeah. Well, they had the graphics figured out.
Right.
They're like, let's make it look cool. And they did.
Let's do good this time.
This looks like a giant grand, like, this is the end goal place in Gen 4.
Right.
Whereas in Gen 1, it's like, here's some tile and just like a million statues laid out in no real order.
Yeah, it was real weird. It was just like, all right, you're here. Like, get to it. And you're like, I'm overwhelmed.
Okay,
I'm
going in.
Why does this look like a supermarket?
And you go inside. There's a Pokemon Center right in front of you. There's like a Nurse Joy and a counter right in front of the entrance.
Right.
And to the left is a Pokemart where you can buy all the best items. You can get Ultra Balls, Full Restores, Revives, all the good stuff here at this Pokemart. And then in the center of the very back wall is a doorway that leads to the chambers of the Elite Four.
And that's where we're going now.
If we are going to undertake that challenge, there's a rule.
What's the rule?
You got to beat all four of them at once. You can't come back to heal. It's all one run.
That's tricksy. That is legitimately the most nerve-wracking thing that ever happened to me in the 90s.
Yeah, now it's not a problem because like we have the experience and we know how it goes. But like
right.
At first, like, I have to fight four
yeah, you're
strong
like, oh.
like gym leader caliber
yeah.
battles in a row without healing.
And you had to like buy like 100 potions and full restores. It's horrifying when you're 8 and you're like, ah.
It's intimidating. When you're 10. It's not horrifying anymore because I'm 2 years older.
You're a mature 10-year-old.
But it's intimidating and it feels very big.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like the end of the game. Like, you did it, kid.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So you walk through the door, come into this chamber. All the chambers look the same, but in the newer gens, they're like...
colored differently.
Kind of colored up. And in Gen 4, I think they have, like, decoration.
Right.
And, like, stuff.
There's, like, a river in one.
But these aren't in Gen 4. We're going to stop talking about Gen 4. And Gen 2 now, because we're coming back
yes.
to, that's a different Elite Four. We're coming back to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we'll come back
Johto.
To that at the end of Johto. You got to wait a year for that.
So, first up in the Elite Four is Lorelei. She is the first trainer of the Elite Four, and she is known for her cool, calculated, and logical battle style, and is considered a master of the Ice type. And she's idolized by the Cerulean gym leader, Misty. That
oh.
is both in canon of the games and the anime.
Okay, cool. I never knew she was a babe.
She is the babest babe in Pokemon, if you ask me.
I did not know. I'm looking at this picture now. I knew that
I tweeted out all the pictures.
Yeah,
so
I'm
yeah.
looking at, yeah. I knew that, like, later on there was, like, an old lady.
Yes.
I just thought she was like, Lorelei's like, oh, here's another old lady. Like, I legitimately.
No,
guess,
she's like.
She's like a little, and I don't remember what her
picture
is.
She's like, you're 10 years old, and you go to the library, and there's like a.
It's a super
like
hot
a,
library.
A high school freshman
yeah.
librarian, and you're like, oh.
High school freshman?
High school sophomore. I had friends in high school that worked part time as a library.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That did not happen in my school. I would say, like, she's like a fresh out of college librarian.
Lorelei is an adult, I'm
yes.
pretty sure.
And she looks a little mean, which I'm into.
She grew up on four islands. All the Sevii Islands are just that number island. That's their names.
Okay. Oh, Sevii, like seven.
Yes. So she grew up on four islands.
The seven wee islands. The Sevii Islands.
She's a collector of plush Poké dolls. She managed to capture her Lapras. Spoiler, she has a Lapras on her team. At a very young age
now,
on her home island and has been with her ever since. Her whereabouts during Gen 2 and 4 are not officially known, but it is implied in Fire Red and Leaf Green that she may have left the Elite Four and returned home.
Okay.
For reasons we will get into in the Four Island episode.
Right.
One quick trivia fact. We don't really do trivia about the trainers, but I can't leave this one out because it's pretty drastic. In the anime,
yeah.
her name is not Lorelei. They changed it to Prima.
Prima Donna.
So it would match the syllables of her Japanese name, Kana.
Okay.
So they could... lip match it better, I guess.
That makes sense.
She's the only Pokemon character that they changed her name, though. Like, that's never happened before
like,
or since, I don't think.
I feel like you can get Lorelei out of two syllables, right?
Just Lorelei?
Lorelei. Say a little faster, like
yeah.
on Gilmore Girls, where I think one of the characters is Lorelei, or one of the actresses is playing one of the Gilmore Girls, which I guess their last name is Gilmore? I don't know.
I have no idea. I never watched Gilmore Girls.
I used to watch the last minute of it right before Veronica Mars and during Veronica Mars' final season. But that's all I remember. So anyway, it's not a podcast about Gilmore Girls. All
right. On to Lorelei's Pokemon.
Yeah, hit me.
In the first gen, red and blue and yellow, they're the same. They're consistent, which is nice.
That's nice.
She has a level 54 Dewgong, a level 53 Cloyster, 54 Slowbro, 56 Jinx, and 56 Lapras. In Gen 3, and this is going forward, in Gen 3, for the first fight, they're all the same Pokemon but lowered by 2 levels. That's every member of the Elite Four.
Okay.
So I don't have to keep saying that.
Cool.
But also in Gen 3, after you beat the Elite Four, go through the Sevii Islands quest, you can fight the Elite Four again, and they're powered up and have some other Pokemon because you've unlocked a national dex.
Right.
So the Gen 3 rematch for Lorelei is a level 64 Dewgong, 63 Cloyster, 63 Piloswine, 66 Jinx, and 66 Lapras.
Okay. Can we go back to her first set?
Yeah.
Slowbro's not an ice type.
Nope. That's going to happen a lot.
I guess he is on theme, though, like a little bit.
They all know, like, Ice Beam and right. Ice moves, which I really like that sometimes their type doesn't match the specialty of the trainer.
Right. It's just that they trained these Pokemon to know some ice moves to, like, stay on theme, to keep you on your toes for type coverage and stuff.
Right.
Because they're the best in the world.
They are, so far.
I would love it if in Gen 7 that one of them just had, like, the standard Pokemon world champion, like, Garchomp and this one and this one and this one.
They'd have to have a Rayquaza and a Kyogre, though.
Well, a non-legendary version, I guess.
Because that was the new rule for the World Tournament this year, so you could have 2, like, big legendaries on your team.
That's bananas.
So you could have, like, a Mewtwo and Kyogre, or, like, Rayquaza and Ho-Oh. Like, they were allowed, but you could only have 2 on your team.
Right. That's insane. I don't like that rule. Seems like poor planning.
I think they just wanted those Pokemon to, like, be used at some point. Because there's, like, all these strong Pokemon they can't use for anything.
Right. There should be 2 categories. Anyway, that's not the point.
Yeah. All right, next up in the Elite Four, we beat Lorelei. Woo!
Ran through her with
She's
my
done.
Arcanine.
We had, well, no, all of her Pokemon are part water.
Oh.
So not with Arcanine, except for Jinx.
With
Charizard. Nope.
Nope.
I looked at Jinx and I was like, that's ice type. With Jolteon.
Sure.
We ran through with Jolteon.
With Zapdos.
Oh, yeah. We have a Zapdos.
Yeah.
So we get to the second member of the Elite Four, Bruno.
Bruno. He's a brute boy.
He is. He lives, trains, and battles with the fighting type Pokemon. He joined the Elite Four so that he could continue to train and battle against the world's strongest trainers.
Well, the Kanto's strongest trainers. At the time,
the world so far.
I think Bruno's kind of a weirdie. He's very intense.
He's huge.
He's enormous. He looks like a black belt who just wasn't content being a black belt.
He wants another rank.
Yeah. He's like, I need to get a darker belt than this one. I know. I'll join the Elite Four.
Here's a little bit of flavor for him. He's been known to visit the Sevii Islands on occasion. One, so that he and his Pokemon can use the spa on one island to help heal wounds from training.
Okay, there's a Pokemon Center literally outside, but, like, okay.
Well, he can't go to a Pokemon Center.
Right. Good call.
And two, he likes to buy Rage Candy Bars on 2 islands.
I don't know what that is. What's a Rage Candy Bar?
It's a candy bar.
Oh, it's just a candy bar?
Yeah.
Oh.
Made out of Rage Candy. They sell them at the Lake of Rage. That's why they're called Rage Candy Bars.
Right, right.
But they also import them to 2 Island, I guess, and Bruno likes to go there and eat them.
Okay.
And also, prior to joining the Elite Four, he was known to train with the gym leader, Brawly, of Hoenn's Dewford Town.
Okay, cool. When do you learn this? Does it say?
It's in Fire Red and Leaf Green. Like, a lot of random NPCs just tell you information, because there's an item in that called the Fame Checker that, like...
Okay.
It's like a Pokedex for notable trainers, so it, like, logs this weird information on them.
Right.
So a lot of this flavor text and stuff comes from that.
Okay, that's neat. I like that. They tried to, like, do something extra
just
with it.
Build the world a little more. I like that a lot. So his Pokemon, he's a fighting type master of Pokemon.
Okay.
So he has an Onix, level 53.
What? Mm-hmm.
Hitmonchan, level 55.
Okay.
Hitmonlee, level 55.
Okay.
An Onix, level 56.
Wait a minute.
And a Machamp, level 58.
You said Onix twice,
He has 2 Onix.
Those are both not fighting type and both the same one.
Yeah. If you're going to ask me, hey, Josh, how do you think they did with the rematches in Fire Red and Leaf Green? I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, oh, they dropped the ball a little bit.
Did they?
Because here's his rematch from Gen 3.
No.
Steelix, level 65.
Wow.
Hitmonchan, level 65. Hitmonlee, level 65. Steelix level 66 and Machamp level 68.
Those are the same ones, but you traded them back. With the Steelix.
He doesn't even get Hitmontop, which definitely existed in Gen 3.
This is...
Or any of the Hoenn fighting types, like Hariyama is all I can think of right now. Hariyama, I think
mine, was Mine Chow?
No, that's Gen 5.
Gen 5. Wow. Yeah, there's plenty new ones.
You could have used this rematch.
Chimchar,
like,
the big Chimchar Infernape.
That's Gen 4. Didn't exist yet.
Torchic?
Blaziken did. Yep.
Blaziken. Blazing Hot Wings. He was a fighting type.
Yeah.
He was fighty.
He's very fighty boy.
Why not use him?
So we beat him real quick because he has two Onixes. He's a fighting type. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Idiot. Hey, Bruno, you're an idiot.
So
you
we
jump
to the third room of the Elite Four where we meet Agatha.
Okay, I like Agatha because she's an old lady.
She's an old lady. She specializes in ghost-type Pokemon, but also uses other Pokemon with quote-unquote horrifying appearances.
Okay, hold on. Can I guess? How many Pokemon does she have?
They all have 5 Pokemon.
They all have 5 Pokemon. Gengar?
Mm-hmm.
Gengar?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mime?
Nope.
Well, he's horrifying.
He is horrifying, but no, she does not use
okay,
him.
Okay, horrifying appearances for Gen 1. Gengar?
Nope. Only two,
only two
Gengars.
Okay.
But you're close with that third guess.
Haunter?
Yep.
Lady.
Okay, let's talk about her a little bit more. We'll run through her team.
Okay.
She is the eldest member of any Elite Four to date.
Ever.
Through any Elite Four that you can find, no one is older than Agatha.
Okay.
Which makes her an inspiration to senior trainers all over the world.
I like that. That's kind of cute.
She is a former childhood friend and rival of Professor Oak. And is alluded to that she may have had a crush on him at some point, but they grew apart because she kept training and he didn't want to fight anymore, so she thinks he's weak and, like,
right.
So they're kind of bitter
also,
toward
like,
each other.
She's like a spookum now.
She's
a lot of spookums.
She's also known to have a short temper, and she is gone from the Elite Four in Gens 2 and 4, and her disappearance is never explained.
Well, she was getting up there.
She was old. Draw your own conclusions.
Maybe she joined her Pokemon.
Nobody's ever talked about Agatha after Kanto. Like, she only exists in this weird bubble in Kanto.
That's weird.
It's very weird.
That's very strange.
So her Pokemon team.
Any information on her that relates to the Sevialis? That seems to be a theme
no.
so far. Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. She just is a ghost. She's probably a ghost.
Who'd she burn? She got burnt.
One day, someone's like, I'm going to run through the Elite Four. And they're like, okay. And they got to the third room. And they're like, hey, there's nobody in here.
I'm just going to go.
Because she was like, I'm gone now. And they're like, no, wait. And then they did something. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So her team is Gengar, level 56.
Okay.
Golbat, level 56.
Okay, all right, I can see
Gen
that.
1 has that gnarly tongue.
Right.
All that spit flying
horrible,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Haunter, level 55.
Stupid.
Arbok, level 58.
Okay, that makes sense.
And Gengar, level 60.
Hey, lady, Mr. Mime's right there. And that would round out your type coverage like crazy.
It would.
It must be real rough being a ghost type trainer in Gen 1 when there's literally only
Here's
the three.
Here's the thing. All of her Pokemon are also poison type. So she's kind of a poison type master.
Why didn't they just call her the poison type trainer? Wait, Golbat's part poison?
Flying poison.
You said Golbat. That auto-corrected in my brain to Golduck. But Golbat makes a lot more sense. With the tongue and the spit.
Right.
I was just thinking of how weird his head looks in Gen 1.
So for the rematch...
Gen 3, plenty of new ghosts.
Gengar, level 66.
Okay.
Crobat, level 66.
Okay.
Misdreavus, level 65.
Okay.
Arbok, level 68. Gengar, level 70.
Hey.
So she dropped the Haunter for Misdreavus.
Okay.
Evolved her Golbat and kept the Gengars.
One of those Gengars could have been something else.
Yep. The thing is, Misdreavus was the only new ghost in Gen 2. But this is Gen 3, so there's, like, Duskull and Bayonet.
Yeah, Bayonet would be a good one.
Yeah.
You want Creepos, yeah.
So we beat her.
Somehow.
We use a lot of psychic stuff, because, like, the ghost is strong against psychic, but they're also super weak to it.
Yeah. So, oops.
So we get to the fourth and final, maybe, chamber of the Elite Four, where we meet, for the first time, Lance.
Lance?
That is a very specific
I know.
Joke. More specific than my Big Dig joke.
Yeah, very much more specific than your Big Dig joke, yeah.
who has taken on the challenge of capturing and raising dragon types as he believes they are indestructible.
I like that. Also, hey, buddy, you got about as much variety as your girl Agatha.
Oh, yeah, wait till we get to his team. He does have a large fan base and is known as a cool and heroic Pokemon trainer. He can sometimes be found at the Celadon City department store buying identical capes.
I'm going to need eight more capes. I got a lot of dragons. I need eight capes.
Yeah, the person who like says this in the game is like, I wonder if he has a lot of the same cape at home. Or if he just like keeps replacing it when it starts to get torn up. His grandfather is the elder of a clan of dragon masters, and gym leader Claire of Blackthorn City in Johto is his cousin.
I like her.
She's neat. The problem is Johto has Jasmine in it, and I have not met a gym leader that I like more than Jasmine.
Whitney is also there, so. And I love Whitney so much, because Whitney is literally Mimi from Digimon, but a Pokemon trainer. Yeah, guys, anyone who knows Digimon, let that sink in.
Because Jasmine's like, oh, yeah, I guess we can like have a fight or whatever. Here's my giant metal snake. Bring it.
Steelix, murder him. Steelix, use murder. It was very effective.
Lance has a level 58 Gyarados, a level 56 Dragonair, a level 56 Dragonair. I did not stutter or skip. A level 60 Aerodactyl, and a level 62 Dragonite.
Well, at least he doesn't have two Dragonites, but he does have two Dragonairs.
Oh, yet. In the rematch,
oh,
Lance has a level 68 Gyarados, a level 66 Dragonite, a level 66 Kingdra, a level 70 Aerodactyl, and a level 72, you guessed it, Dragonite.
So if you don't have a Dragonite or an Ice type,
everybody has Articuno. I had Articuno and did not use it because I was still under the mentality of nothing is better than this Blastoise monster that I have.
I ran train with just my Blastoise.
But I also had the mentality of he is a water type, he will have all water moves. So we had like Water Gun, Bubble Beam, Surf, and Hydro Pump.
Yeah.
But I did have Articuno in my pocket, untouched, level 50.
Right.
Ice beamed this dude into the dirt. He did nothing. Except for his Gyarados, which like I think I had Zapdos thunder it or something.
Right.
The legendary birds eat Lance for lunch.
Yeah.
He can't touch them.
Can you imagine showing up? Like, you're Lance. You have dragons. You're the only one with dragons.
And you are firm in your belief
that
these things cannot be destructed.
And then this kid shows up.
This 10-year-old dork.
With magic birds that you've never seen before. That just eat your lunch.
Just one hit KOs all your indestructible dragons.
And you're sitting there like, oh, I quit.
Well, I guess you're the champion now. Or you would have been.
What?
But you have one more challenge to face. Go through this door behind me. So we beat Lance. We go through the door behind him.
This is, okay, before we get there, this was crazy as a kid. Because it's the Elite Four.
Yep.
You had to beat the Elite Four.
And you're already like, oh, thank God. Lance was the last one. I'm out of healing stuff. All my Pokemon are almost dead.
And I've been playing for an hour and 40 minutes, and I'm so tired.
And then Lance is like, you got one more challenge, punk.
And you're like, no.
You're going to destruct my dragons? I don't think so. So you walk through the door. And oh, look who it is. It's your rival who's been one step ahead of you this whole journey.
The whole time.
And the Pokemon League is no exception to the rule.
Did you ever find out if you fight him outside before?
You do. You fight him whatever route that is that's right next to Viridian before you go...
22?
I think it is 22.
Because you fight him, you can fight him in 22 like right off,
yeah,
right?
And you fight him there again.
Okay.
On your way to the Pokemon League. Where he's like, you're not good enough, and then you beat him, and he's like, I'm better, and then he goes and beats the Pokemon League because he hates you so much.
Out of spite? Out of anger and spite?
So yeah, it's your rival. Whatever you named him, that's who it is.
It's Butts.
It's Butts.
It's your rival Butts.
Did we name him? I feel like we probably named him Butts.
Probably named him Butts, if I had to guess.
And obviously his teams are a little more complex because they vary depending on what starter Pokemon he has.
Right.
So he has...
Buckle in, kids.
He has, on all of his teams... A level 61 Pidgeot, a level 59 Alakazam, and a level 61 Rhydon. Those are the control group. Those don't change.
Okay. That's a good solid base.
And then he can have either a level 61 Exeggutor, 63 Gyarados, and a 65 Charizard. or a 61 Arcanine, a 63 Exeggutor, and a 65 Blastoise, or a level 61 Gyarados, 63 Arcanine, and 65 Venusaur.
Okay.
So it's the same three Pokemon. He just rotates the type, weirds the levels out in a weird way.
Right. And those ones beat the Elite Four.
Do you want to run through and see how?
Yes.
Let's see if we can figure it out. So Lorelei has a lot of water types and ice types.
So, who should we... We'll take one of his teams and go through. We both had Blastoise, so he would have had the Venusaur.
He would have had Venusaur. So he can use Venusaur for Lorelei with little trouble. And Alakazam.
Well, the ice types, though.
Not Alakazam.
The ice type. If they have ice moves, he's in the dirt. Got Gyarados?
Gyarados might be able to do some damage there. I still think Venusaur is... He is higher level than Lorelei. But that may not be until after he wins the challenge.
Right, he does beat all of them first. I was like level 86 when I left there.
So I think we're probably looking at Gyarados with some just like neutral damage moves. Pidgeot might get something in, but I wouldn't put him in on an ice type or Rhydon. So it's down to Gyarados and Alakazam.
Yeah.
Because even if he doesn't have Venusaur, he just has Exeggutor instead, which is still weak to the ice type.
Right.
So that was probably the hardest battle for him.
Probably.
Because he swept Bruno with Alakazam, no problem.
Oh, yeah, now he didn't blink.
He got to Agatha and same thing.
Yeah.
Because she's all poison.
And like, you know, worst case scenario, he used Venusaur, which is immune to poison.
Right.
So, like,
Lance probably gave him some trouble, too, though.
What, like, unless Gyarados had some dragon moves?
But the only dragon move was Dragon Rage, which did 40 flat damage.
Also, moves...
Dragon type, like, the typing was fine. It's always... seems to be paired with something that is also weak to ice.
Right.
So most dragon types are four times weak to ice.
Right.
And like it just didn't have any good moves until Gen 2 or 3. Like
also I don't remember. But were the moves in Gen 1 given types?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were. You could see what type they were. You could not tell what the base damage for the moves were in Gen 1 though.
That's a weird.
Like you
weird
did not know how much more powerful Bubble Beam was than Bubble. You just had to like, oh, it does this much more damage on a health bar.
Right.
So it's a stronger move,
I should use it. It's got another word in it, so it's probably better. Dragon Rage sounds pretty cool. Oh, it's not?
His Gyarados might have like Ice Beam or something, but it's not a special attacker, so I don't know how strong that would actually be.
I don't know. I'm saying...
So I think between Lorelei and Lance, he probably struggled a little bit.
Probably. His Alakazam got a workout, though.
His team changes in yellow because he has an EV starter instead of another one.
Right.
So he has his three standard Pokemon are level 61 Sandslash, 59 Alakazam, and this time he has a level 61 Exeggutor because there's no grass type EV. So Exeggutor is an anchor on his team. And then he can have either a 61 Ninetales, 63 Magneton, and a 65 Vaporeon, or a 61 Cloyster. 63 Ninetales, 65 Jolteon, or a 61 Magneton, 63 Cloyster, or 65 Flareon.
Okay.
Cloyster is part ice type, and it would be better suited for fighting Lance than a Gyarados.
Right. But again, like...
I don't... Yeah, you're still having a hard time with Lorelei.
You don't even have Alakazam now.
Magneton. The electric
type. Right. But then you get to Agatha... And you don't got your psychic guy.
You got Alakazam. He's part of the main three.
Oh, okay. You did say Alakazam. I thought you...
Yeah, so you use...
And Exeggutor, I guess, has psychic if you need it.
Right. So you use your Magneton or your Jolteon to sweep Lorelei.
Right.
Whatever your water type is. So Cloyster... A combination of Cloyster and Alakazam just wipe the floor with Bruno.
Yeah.
Alakazam and Exeggutor make short work of Agatha. Cloyster does a lot of work against Lance, and it's a much better rounded team this time.
Right. And then you got to fight him. And once you beat the Elite Four, if you're the champion, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Am I allowed to write the fan fiction of the dude that was champion right before a 10-year-old walked through that door and beat him?
That was Gary or Blue or Butts.
Yeah, but who did Butts beat?
He just beat the Elite Four. I think he's the first person that beat the Elite Four.
Ever beat the Elite Four?
I think so.
Why isn't that a thing going forward? It's always...
There's always the Elite Four champion. Yeah.
Because I didn't think about that or know that until this second, and that's never baller.
Yeah, it's never said one way or the other. I just always assumed no one did it before Blue did, and then you walk in and immediately eat his lunch.
That makes a lot of sense, especially for Lance being like, they're indestructible, you can't beat me.
Well, when
no one's gotten past me.
When you beat Lance, he's like, congratulations, you're the champion, or you would have been, but Blue did it first.
Right.
So,
dang.
Yeah.
Dang, son. And then you walk in, and once you become the champion, you get a free heal on all your Pokemon, because you got to fight whoever comes right after you, I guess.
So Blue wins, becomes the champion, calls Professor Oak, and loses the championship before Professor Oak could even get there.
Yeah.
He does have a rematch, though. Let's go over his rematch team.
Okay.
So his team changes a bit. His core team gets a couple good changes in it. So he gets a level 72 Heracross.
I like that.
Level 73, Alakazam. So Alakazam is just like a staple. He's got to have him.
Alakazam, a very good Pokemon.
It is.
See our Spotlight episode on Patreon.
And he gets a level 72 Tyranitar.
That's the Dragonzord, right?
Yes.
That's a weird choice, but I like that.
It's a Rock Dark type. It's not a dragon.
Hmm.
It's weird. Okay, so he gets those three. And then it's the same Exeggutor, Gyarados, starter.
Right.
Arcanine, Exeggutor, Gyarados, Arcanine. Venusaur, Blastoise, you know, you guys get it.
Right.
They're just leveled up to 73, 73, and his starter is 75.
Cool.
So when you beat him, and become the champion, and Professor Oak gets there and is disappointed in his grandson, but loves you more.
Right, as he has this whole time.
Then you get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, man.
And the credits roll. We did it. We beat the game.
We did. We beat Kanto. We're the very best.
Like no one ever was. That's the second time I've made that joke.
Except for Blue.
This episode.
Blue was the very best right before us.
But now we're the very best, so no one has ever been as much the very best as
we are. So there's only been one universal champion, is what you're saying to me.
Yep. Well, no, I'm saying if someone is the very best, and then you best them, you are now the very best like no one ever was before you. Because you beat the last
best. You are better than the last best.
You are better than the last best.
Okay, yes, I will accept that. Because you can think, if you think about it in the right like angle, it's like, well, he was the very best, so I am the very best like he was. Not like no one was.
But you're better than him, so no one was as best as you.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Now that you're the topmost best, now that you are the number one best in the world.
That's right. We're granted secret access.
We get a permission slip to go on a field trip.
To go on a field trip to the Cerulean Cave.
So we whistled past this particular graveyard when we hit Cerulean the first time.
Graveyard's just a cave.
I mean, like, we're going to die in there, probably.
There's no ghosts.
We don't know that.
I don't think there's no ghosts.
Anyway, so, like, we deliberately didn't talk about this, because this is the final boss. Like, this is it.
This is the end of the game.
Yeah.
This is the only post-game content in Gen 1.
Yeah. Once you've beaten this, go home. You're the best.
I mean, you still have to get the rest of the Pokemon unless you did that.
You do
that
have
already.
To get all the Pokedex, that's true. Unless you were saving this for last, that'd be cathartic, huh?
So after winning the championship, you are deemed strong enough to enter the mysterious cave outside of Cerulean City, which is officially known as Cerulean Cave, but is sometimes referred to as the Unknown Dungeon, which I like better as a name.
I like it better as a name, but Dungeon, to me, feels like it should be under a castle.
It got that name unofficially in a player's guide.
And then now
it's player's
official?
Guide called it the Unknown Dungeon. It is officially the Cerulean Cave.
Okay. Prima, come on, get it together. Making up names. How dare. I don't mean Lorelei's anime counterpart Prima. I mean
that's a 4Kids problem. That's not
I mean I think they exclusively make Nintendo walkthrough books, Prima guides.
I think so.
Maybe they make more now. I don't know.
I don't know. Does anybody buy them anymore?
We got the internet now. It's hard times for the walkthrough industry.
We had, when we started at Target 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago.
We had a whole section of it.
We had, not a whole section, but at least like a couple side caps of player's guides.
Yeah.
I don't think we have them anymore.
We get like one, like when new games come out, we'll get like one for some Nintendo games. But that's
it. If it's like a big hardbound special edition, like we'll carry that for a week. But like we had Madden 14 players guides on clearance for like years.
We still might. They don't go clearance. They don't clearance out.
Right.
They don't disappear forever, which is weird.
Anyway, Cerulean Cave is a large 3-floor maze-like cavern full of strong Pokemon. The layout is different in every generation, but it follows kind of the same rules. The first floor and the third floor, which is technically it's laid out weird. There's a floor one,
okay,
a floor two, and a floor B1. So you go from the second floor down a chute.
Okay, you get this cool slide. Get all the way down
to a subterranean floor. So one and B1 have large underground lakes, and then the second floor is always like a complex maze of narrow hallways. But they all are laid out differently.
Okay.
Which is weird, and it gives this place like a
very weird,
like constantly changing. Yeah. Like it's never the same twice when you come in.
I remember when
it's like a mystery dungeon.
I remember when I got to the end, and I was like, "Hey, I did it! I'm here in the end now." I genuinely felt like I had like just wandered through the Lost Woods for like for like an hour, and I was like, "Well, oh, oops."
So you do need surf, and I think strength.
Yeah, you definitely need strength. Yeah.
So let's talk about the Pokemon in here because it's a list. So, in Gen 1, on the first floor, there's Arbok, Raichu, Sandslash, Golbat, Gloom, Parasect, Venomoth, Kadabra, Weepinbell, Graveler, Magneton, Dodrio, Hypno, and Ditto.
That's my favorite verse of the Pokérap.
There's 150, maybe more to see.
So this is where you can get Ditto. This is one of the Ditto places.
Only in Yellow. It's not there in Red and Blue.
Oh, okay.
It's a new addition for Yellow. He's in there. Otherwise, I think he's only in the mansion. And maybe on that route outside of Fuchsia for some reason.
He's on the extra bonus route.
Yeah.
you walked there from the mansion.
You can also fish for Magikarp, Poliwag, Goldeen, Slowbro, Kingler, Seadra, and Sea King. The second floor adds Wigglytuff, Electrode, Marowak, Rhyhorn, Rhydon, and Chansey. And on B1, they add Lickitung. That's Gen 1. There is no Cerulean Cave in Gen 2. It caved in.
Oh.
And Gen 3... Again, the layout is different, which just makes this place so weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's living and changing and evolving. Like, it's such a weird cave.
That's very weird. This cave... Okay, can I... I'm going to posit something once we get to the Pokemon, because we're...
Okay.
Because we're going to save it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, there's also another Pokemon on floor B1, but we're not talking about him yet.
Right.
So in Gen 3, on the first floor... There's now Primate, Machoke, Electrode, and Wobbuffet, because you cannot access this until you complete the Sevii Islands this time.
Okay. And so once you complete the Sevii Islands, that like incorporates other Pokemon other than Gen 1 Pokemon, right?
Correct.
Is that how that works? Okay.
Yep. You can surf to find Psyduck, Slowpoke, Golduck, or Slowbro. You can fish and find Gyarados, Psyduck, and Slowpoke. And on the second floor, you can now Rock Smash to get Geodude or Graveler. In Gen 4, the cave's open again. It did not cave in this time, in this timeline future.
Right. The official timeline.
The only different stuff in here, there's now Persian. You can find by walking around. You can fish for Poliwhirl. You can use the Hoenn sound to get Makuhita or Absol. You can use a Sinnoh sound to get Chingling and Bronzor. Again, I think they dropped the ball.
Yeah, you can do so sounds. Much cooler stuff. Those are like literally the two that you can get.
Like, yeah. Like there's like a pool of maybe six Pokemon that they swap between routes.
That's bull honky.
But that is it. There's one more big thing here at the end of this cave, but that's the gist of the cave in general. Do you have anything you would like to add before we move on?
No, because the only question I have requires knowledge of what we're moving on to. We're being very coy, and I'm sure you've all figured it out by now.
Well, then, without further ado...
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Mewtwo! Show of hands, how many of you
Who
are
was surprised?
Totally shocked that it's
if
Mewtwo.
If you were surprised, tweet, wow, surprised.
Hashtag it. Hashtag wow, surprised.
Hashtag wow, surprised.
Mewtwo is Pokemon number 150. I wrote it wrong in my notes. I wrote 151.
No, that's a different
that's
Pokemon.
That's a different Pokemon. He is the genetic Pokemon.
Uh-oh.
He's a psychic type. This, not that, not the fact that he's a psychic type, but this next fact kind of stunned me a little bit.
Okay.
He's 6'7", and you can't
teach that.
He's huge.
He's 2 inches shorter than a shoot Colin Cassidy.
He's 8 inches, no, 9 inches taller than me.
That's...
Okay, he's very large.
Can I...
Nidoking is 4 feet.
Yeah, Nidoking is 4 feet. The
Charizard is like... 5-something.
Some Pokemon being very short is the most disappointing thing in Pokemon. Nidoking specifically.
Yeah. He should be a monster.
He should be like 8 feet tall.
Instead, he's like up to my nipples.
Can I fan cast the Pokemon movie? Can I cast Mewtwo in it for you?
Yeah.
Lance Hoyt.
Done.
He is 6'7". He's a tall, tall man.
Mewtwo weighs 269 pounds. I feel like Lance Hoyt weighs more than that, but...
Oh, probably. But he's not,
but
like...
But he looks the part.
Yeah.
For abilities, it has Pressure, which doubles PP usage of your opponent. Not of you, obviously. That would
right.
be a bad ability.
That would be bad.
its hidden ability is Unnerve. So
it's hard mode.
Your opponent can't eat berries. It's not as good as Pressure.
No.
Sometimes these hidden abilities are like, we'll throw this dart. Unnerve. Perfect. Give that to Mewtwo.
Mewtwo's unnerving. Well, yeah, but maybe Unnerve could be like...
The ability's not good.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but like berries are so situational.
I never use berries. Because they usually have something that powers them up better than that.
Yeah.
For a hold item.
For the Pokedex entries for Mewtwo. After years of gene splicing and DNA engineering experiments, a scientist finally succeeded in the creation of Mewtwo. Its DNA is nearly identical to Mew's, however, the differences result in its more grotesque appearance and vicious attitude. It thinks only of destroying its enemies, and by enemies, I think I meant opponents. It doesn't have, like, grudges or anything.
Right. It does in the movie.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. It spends most of its time motionless, conserving its energy so it can unleash it in battle. It is said to have the most savage heart of all Pokemon and was exiled into the Cerulean Cave because it could not be controlled. Except by this 10-year-old boy who stuffed it in a ball.
Except you show up, toss your Master Ball, and boom, you got him. Okay, I got two questions.
Yeah.
First one is, if he's so powerful, how could they get him into the cave and convince him to stop? Or did they just, like...
That I don't know. Or maybe he, like, got in there and they're like, okay, seal it up. Put this guy with the tall hair in front of it so he can't come out.
Like, they, like, beat him back, right? Like, they just
kept
beating him
back. Yeah, I mean, it was probably, like, a war getting him in. That was the war that Lieutenant Surge fought in.
That might... Oh, my God!
Did we just blow the lid off this?
Oh, dang.
Guys, we normally name the episodes after the slogan of the town, but we might name this one, "We Did It."
We did it. Okay, this is the best fan theory we've ever come up with.
Yes, I've never read this anywhere.
I have never, no.
This might be PWT exclusive.
Yeah, we're blowing the lid off this whole thing. What if this is the real one?
This might be it.
What if someone at Nintendo's like, crap.
They did it.
They did.
After 20 years, someone finally
did it. Give them money, right?
Yeah.
That's how that works.
I mean, that's what I would do.
That's what I would do if I were you, Nintendo. And okay, so let's say they beat him back, and he was, like, wounded but not, like, dead. He's just tired. And then they all retreated real quick, and he was just at the bottom of the cave, and he's
and
like...
And he just, like, chills motionless until he has to fight.
And so if no one's fighting him, he's like, well, I'm just going to wait for them to come back. And that was... 10 years ago-ish?
Like, right before you were born.
Yeah.
Oh, whew. God.
I feel good.
Oh, I want to write this out. I gotta...
We gotta wrap up.
Okay.
Here's my second question. And this contradicts the first one.
Okay.
But it's about the cave always changing. Is the cave just a psychic projection of Mewtwo?
Oh, God. Maybe. Or he just somehow is shifting
it
and controlling it?
Is able to move everything around?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Guys, holy crap.
We did good work this episode. Where's our Emmy for podcasting?
We have two more things to talk about Mewtwo before we get to trivia.
Okay.
Because he Mega Evolves twice.
Oh, right.
So there's Mega Mewtwo X.
Is this the one with the big head?
This is not the one with the big head.
Okay.
This is the one with the shoulder pads.
Okay.
So Mega Mewtwo X is a psychic fighting type. Gains a foot. He is now 7'7".
We'd have to get the Ghost of Andre the Giant to play him.
The only person. Weighs 280 pounds, and he gets the ability Steadfast, which increases speed when flinched.
Okay.
There's no new Pokedex entries for Megas, because they're, I guess, the same Pokemon, whatever.
Right.
I think we talked about that before. So there's also Mega Mewtwo Y.
This one has a big head.
This is the one with the big head with a spoiler on
it.
Yeah. Is the opposite of Mega Mewtwo X. It stays plain psychic, shrinks down to 4'11", and weighs only 72.8 pounds, and gets the ability Insomnia, which obviously means it cannot sleep.
Right.
And I feel like it looks a little bit more like Mew.
I'm looking at a picture now.
More appearance influences from Mew.
It looks sort of like an upside down Mew, in that like Mew has the long tail,
And this has a long head.
This has a long head, but it's sort of evocative of that. Whereas
it also is floating, I think. I don't think it stands.
It looks like it's floating in the picture. The Mega Mewtwo Y is just like rough and tumble Mewtwo. Like
that's X, I thought. Did I get him back? Okay.
Wait. No, X has the spoiler head.
Okay. I got him backwards then.
Yeah, because there's a Pokemon card here and it says Mega Mewtwo X and it's got the spoiler on his head.
Okay. I got him backwards then. So that's X. Right. Shoulder pads is Y.
Are the stats noticeably different? Because if he's shorter and just still psychic.
I didn't check. He's going to be. I think X gets more attack and Y gets more special attack.
Oh, maybe.
But I'm not sure. I feel like
it would be the opposite of that, right?
I got them backwards in my head, and that's just the way they're always going to be.
I say left and right backwards, off, so I understand. But that would make sense, though, that like the psychic one gets more special attack and the one that gets fighting gets more attack.
Right.
So, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
There's also this picture. This is fan art of Mega Mewtwo Z.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's like, what if Mewtwo was also a Dragon Ball?
I like some of the ideas in there, but you're doing too much.
He's very busy.
Yeah.
It's a very busy Pokemon.
All right, so I got a couple things of trivia.
Okay.
There was a pretty long list, but a lot of it was, I don't know. I'm weird about the trivia that I pick for these.
If
I don't think it's something that's like interesting about the character, I don't care about it. So its birthday is February 6th, and that is specifically stated in one of the Cinnabar Mansion journals.
Like February 6th, we did it.
Yep.
But oh no.
It says February 6th, Mewtwo was born.
Oh.
Because in the same journal entry, it suggests that Mew was impregnated with a modified clone of itself, which is how real cloning kind of works.
Right.
But all the depictions of Mewtwo show it being grown in a lab. So
I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't really know what was going on yet. So on February 6th, it says Mew gave birth, I think it's the journal entry. It's like Mew gave birth, this new thing is like so powerful, oh my god.
We messed up.
Yeah, we done heck.
We did bad.
And then the only other one I wrote down was Mewtwo and Charizard are currently the only Pokemon with two Mega Evolutions.
Right. I understand Mewtwo. I don't know why Charizard did.
It's just fan service, I think. People just won't shut up about Charizard. It's weird. I don't know.
I don't know.
That was always partial to Blastoise. He should have got two.
Same. And I
should have got one where he's real fat and then one where he's like super skinny.
Yeah.
He's just like real fast.
That'd be scary. A fast Blastoise would be
just
scary.
Just like a turtle with no shell.
Where would he keep his guns?
And he holds his handguns. He's got his Shadow the Hedgehog, but Blastoise.
I would not.
That's not as good as the Mewtwo War that we came up
with. No, that was ballin'. We did very good today.
I think we nailed it. Like, that has to be it. That's all that makes sense to me.
That's the only thing
now
that makes sense. Alan was going to do for his conspiracy. I think he was going to do the Great War for one of them.
Yeah.
And you still can, Alan.
You still can, but like we're going to tell you why you're wrong.
But we're just going to let you know gently that like, hey, there's a better theory out there.
We kind of nailed it.
And we did. We did.
So
so
I'll have to see if Lieutenant Surge ever references a time frame. I'll have to look into that.
Okay.
To see if he ever says, like, it was 20 years ago or something.
Right. Well, it has to be 10. It has to be around 10 because your dad is theorized to be caught up in it. It wasn't really.
Right. Is that a part of our official fan theory canon? That your dad was in the war?
Oh, your dad died?
Your dad died in the war?
Mewtwo killed your father.
And that's why you stuff it in a ball and put it in a PC and never use it?
Yeah.
No, I used it. As soon as I caught it, I went back and beat the whole Elite Four with him.
Used the heck out of him. He's super powerful.
I was like, look what I got. Because I beat you nerds, and I'm going to beat you even worse. So for origin of its name, it's the sequel to Mew. They did.
Right, it's the second Mew. I would have liked it, and this would have taken a lot more forethought on their account, if it was like Mew 9.
Right.
You know, if it wasn't like, as far as successful Mews go.
It's Mewtwo.
It's Mewtwo. So I guess that makes sense.
Right.
Because the unsuccessful ones are dittos.
For its appearance, like it's obviously just a powered up clone. There was reference to it looking kind of like a gray alien, but I always pictured them very skinny.
With big heads, and this is the opposite.
But I guess if this was like a humanoid cat gray alien.
Right.
With a purple tail.
You can definitely see the
I can
A
see
to
how
B.
they tried to make him alien-like. He's got very skinny arms and like suction cup fingers.
And he's got like...
Or just like bulbous fingers. I don't know if those are cups or bulbs.
On the toy, on the amiibo, they're just bulbs.
Okay.
Doesn't he have like things in his back? Like
there's from the back of his head into his back is almost like a tube, but it's part of his body.
Yeah, that's weird.
Also, part of his name that I didn't mention is that it sounds kind of like mutant.
Oh, that's true.
So, there's that. And that's everything I have on Cerulean Cave, Indigo Plateau, and Mewtwo. We're wrapped up. That's all I got.
We are. Okay, so, I think for our big season finale, we're going to give us a break.
Okay.
We did a lot. Look, we made the best fan theory.
Oh, we did. So I think we nailed the fan theory.
I think instead of rating names this time, maybe we'll do like a name raider Bobo bonus, to stitch onto the...
That'll go quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To stitch onto the end of the next one. So for now, we're just going to go wrap up.
All right.
I know a lot of people, their season finales are bigger.
Ours are smaller.
We do very big every episode.
We do. So these ones are so dense, too.
There's a lot of info that goes into them. So thank you guys very much for listening to season one of Pokemon World Tour, regular style.
Pokemon World Tour Vanilla?
Pokemon World Tour Classic. If you want to email us, that's pwtpodcast@gmail.com, and we're on Twitter @pwtpodcast.
Get at us. Send us your nicknames with the #PWTRate.
Yeah, and next time, we'll rate them. But not this time.
Nope.
Also, we haven't said it in a while, but if you have any questions, like theoretical, or like if you're wondering what our thoughts are on anything, send those in too.
Yeah, and anything Pokemon related that you can think you would want to ask or tell us, send it in.
Yeah, send it to us.
We will address it on a not season finale episode.
Yep. Because we're taking the night off, the rest of the night off.
We are, we're checked out. We already clocked out. This is all free work.
I'm a little exhausted from how good that theory is.
It's great. I'm going to do some research to see if I can flesh it out a little bit more.
For sure. So we're on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to leave us a review, that'd be great. Soon we will have a separate feed for Pokemon World Tour United, but it will still go up in the main feed.
Okay, so we're not totally separating.
No, we're not separating them all together. Unless, let us know.
Yeah, if you would rather us do that for some reason.
Right. I feel like if you just like the Pokemon World Tour episodes, then the United ones, I don't think they get in the way as much as the opposite is true.
Right. Yeah, if you're looking
if
for...
If you're just here for United,
if you're
I feel
looking
like,
for a roleplay Pokemon podcast and like all these other episodes keep popping in.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily care about that, which I get. Sometimes that happens.
Right.
A friend of mine recently was like, listen to Retronauts. So I like went over there and I looked through some of their stuff.
Yeah.
They talk about old video games, which is really cool, but I only care about a handful of old video games. So I did go through and cherry pick some episodes to listen to, but I wouldn't listen to that whole podcast. So I get it.
So we understand. Yeah, the same thing with this Harry Potter podcast I listen to there because they do like topics now, and I'm like, oh, I don't care about that. Get out of here. So let us know what you think, and maybe we'll do that. I have a feeling that United will just stay in this feed, so it'll be easier. You don't have to subscribe to two if you want.
You won't have to subscribe to a new one if you like everything we do here.
Yeah, but if you just like the other one, which is a much more specific podcast, I think, then that'll have its own feed. Leave us a review. Did I already say that? Please and thank you. We got a new one.
We did. We're not doing fan interactions this time.
No, we're not. Also, it's a United. It's mostly for United. Okay. So I'm going to do that on the next United episode.
All right, cool.
So we're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. If you go there, you can get some cool stuff. You get the Spotlight episodes. Those are very cool. You get Pokemon World Tour United early. We're going to be doing, once we get to $500 a month, we're going to be doing a bonus miniseries for United, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
We got some good ideas. It's going to be very cool. It's going to be pretty big. It's going to be a big, lot of good production stuff going into that one. But it's going to be very fun. And also the spotlights are up. And our next spotlight is going to be the Honedge family.
That's right. They won the poll.
Yeah. By like a hair.
Oh, it started out with Litwick just running away with it.
I was very excited because Litwick is very cute.
I voted for Drifloon and Phantump because I thought they would be very interesting to talk about. And it was two different Pokemon. So I thought people were going to go for that.
Get the more bang for your buck. But no, they wanted a sword.
Yep.
They wanted to see
you
what
want a sword?
About.
You're going to get it.
I voted for
a
Litwick.
A sword that evolves into two swords that evolves into a sword and shield.
Well, evolution is a mystery. that's where you can go kick a couple bucks our way. It helps us out a ton, too, so we really appreciate that. And finally, our theme song is The Destiny Infinite by Dark Sword. That's DarkeSword off the OC Remix album, the EVEP, which is available at ev.ocremix.com.
Go check it out. And the rest of our music is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Duper Music Collection. It's just super. It's just one. It's a regular
Super. Don't look up Super Duper Collection. You won't find it.
That's available on iTunes, so go check that out. And all of the Pokemon soundtracks are there.
Yeah, and they're all, I think probably the best money to song ratio
that I've come across.
That I have come across.
You could
at least
buy the songs individually for 99 cents, or you can get the album of 200 plus songs for $10.
So, like, I mean, if you got it and you want to spend it, I'm not going to stop you, but like, you could just do better stuff with that money, I guess. And that's going to do it for us. So next time, are we going to decide right now? Are we gonna leave it to be a mystery?
We'll leave it as a mystery.
We'll figure it out. Next time's going to be a bonus episode. That's in 2 weeks. Next week is episode 12, Pokemon World Tour United. It's a good one. You're not on it.
I'm not in it. I was on vacation. Yeah. That's why I got kidnapped at the end of 11.
Yeah, it's weird. And if I would have known now how far ahead we would be, we probably would have just skipped a week. But but like, it's weird you not being there, because there's definitely extra space on my track where I'm like, normally Josh would be talking here. but it's very fun. I'm not done editing it yet, obviously, but it's pretty fun. So go check that
out. I'll have to listen to that one because I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I've heard like snippets of what happened during the episode, but I don't know the whole story of it. So very excited.
It's good. It's a good time. So I've been Jake.
And I am Josh.
Until next time.
Smell you later.